John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Where does he block? Does he block high? Does he block low? Here it comes. Kyle Busch to the middle. Shooting a gap. No help with Kyle Busch.
Oh, Suarez right alongside him. Three wide. Off
Look
turn
at this.
Four. Here they come to the flag. Three abreast. Photo finish.
I think it's Blaney. Unbelievable. Three wide finish. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Scoring.
Finish is under review.
Scoring has the margin between the first three cars at 0.00 seconds.
How awesome was that?
Wow. And I thought Blaney won too. Welcome to Racing Radio. Second race recap. And man, we couldn't have asked for a better start to the season. I'm just elated. Like, that was a great race. The end, the only end I was hoping for, because I was going to come on and be thrilled about this, of how exciting a race was, just don't enter caution. Let there be a finish at the line. Don't let there be any damper at the end of this. Well, not only did we get a finish at the line, we had first and third separated by 0.003 or 7 seconds, like the closest from first to third of all time. I mean, Justin, this is, to me, the second best finish in NASCAR history, only to Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch at Darlington, you know, in 04, 05, or whenever that was. That was nuts. That was thrilling from start to finish. That was amazing. And congrats to Daniel Suarez for pulling it off.
Yeah, that was really awesome. It was just an awesome race, too. It wasn't even just an awesome finish. An awesome race was capped off by a legendary, historic finish that's literally going to be talked about for a very, very long time. And it is going to be talked about with, like, Johnson and Carl Edwards in the Scotts 99. Back in the mid-2000s. It's going to be talked about up there with Harvick and Gordon at Atlanta. Obviously, that Harvick win means a lot more than the Suarez win. And then, obviously, you mentioned, I think, just the best finish of all time, at least in this kind of modern 2000s era of Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch at Darlington. Yeah, man. But as somebody who, especially last week, we were talking about, it's a good race, but we didn't get the finish. You didn't even get the finish. And as somebody who's been a NASCAR fan for a long time now, and somebody, you know, sometimes you get a really great finish, but not a great race. Sometimes you get a great race and then you don't even get a finish. The fact that this race, like, it is 7:38, you know, the race ended maybe about an hour ago, and we're saying to ourselves, this is a race that we're going to remember for the rest of our lives. Awesome. And I can't remember the last time that we said that about a NASCAR race like this.
Yeah. I mean, it was just wild. Like, again, if this finish doesn't happen, we're talking about a great race anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I know there's been a lot of bitching about Atlanta, but I don't understand why that continued after, you know, the last race there, you know, last summer was amazing, right? The finish, that, you know, that whole race was awesome. And then this one, again, start to finish, and you get that's going to be the best race of the year, obviously, if we're comparing it to, like, the all-time greats, you know, from our lifetime. You know, if you're bringing up a finish with Kevin Harvick at Atlanta and Ricky Craven at Darlington, you are witnessing a historic event. I thought Ryan Blaney won that, right? I was like, I think it's Blaney, but I didn't know, right? And, you know, that was the first finish where I just didn't know, right? Even if it's like the closest margin, you're still like, I'm pretty sure he got him by hair. You had no clue. And not only did I not know, but I had the wrong win with Suarez. This is a huge win for Suarez, which we'll talk about. But I mean, just even, you know, 20, 30 laps before, like, Austin Cindric goes four wide in the straightaway, and like, that's insane, right? Or
it was 50 to go
in the tri-oval. Yeah. Like, that's insane, right? And then Kyle Busch takes it four wide through the entire corner. It's like, I can't believe they got through a whole corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Martin Truex, the next corner, takes it four wide. It's like, how the hell are they not wrecking? And then, you know, Chase Briscoe, you know, I take notes during the races for this show now, and my most previous note was like, Chase Briscoe is racing like a madman, and he ended up, you know, wrecking himself.
Yeah, five laps later, he wrecks.
Yeah, ends up wrecking himself and Blaney. But man, that was awesome for Suarez, right? He had the advantage because Blaney didn't block, you know, and allowed Kyle Busch to, you know, get underneath him, and then Suarez was able to use that side draft, and he just had all that momentum. Because I mean, it looked like coming to turn 1-2 that Blaney was going to be able to block both lanes, and you know, and take a not an easy win, but take a win at it. And Suarez was just made the perfect move to pull to the outside, side draft, keep it tight, and pull that off.
I want to go back to the four wide stuff. That was 50 to go. 50 to go. It wasn't 20 to go. It wasn't 10 to go. It wasn't 5 to go. It was 50 to go. And I kind of wanted to – this was a note that I had last week about Daytona, but I feel like it's on steroids this week at Atlanta. Yeah, they wrecked a couple times, and I know lap two, you know, they had the big wreck that took out a lot of the field. But still, credit to these cars, to the new car that they've made, that these cars that, you know, you could tape them up and then boom, they're ready to go right back out on that track that they could still race. And that was a criticism of the old car, is that any kind of damage that they took, you're done. The car was done. So the thought that I had last week, and it definitely mirrors this week, is, man, the average person doesn't see it. And even us sitting at home, Bobby, we've never driven any of these cars. We can't really grasp how difficult it is to drive. And it does kind of just look like, oh, well, you know, they're just turning left. It is so difficult. Think of when you're driving on the highway, Bobby. We're going 80, 90 miles an hour. And it's a windy day in Florida. It's a windy day in Jersey. And then you drive behind like a tractor trailer truck, right? The car. Your car will, like, whoa, like, you know, you got to hold on to it a little bit. And I know it's such a minor example, but the momentum of, especially for how draggy these cars are and how these cars are so influenced by air. They're so influenced by the draft. These guys are going three wide, four. If you go four wide at Talladega, we're all going, holy shit, hold on. They're going four wide in a mile and a half for an entire lap and holding on to it. They're holding on to it, Bobby. So these cars are really tough to drive. They're not wrecking every lap. The racing was awesome. Awesome, awesome stuff by these drivers. Like it's not just obviously it's a sport where we're rooting for drivers to win and lose, right? But it's also a sport where now, as I've gotten older, I want to be entertained. I was so entertained by the product really over the last 2 weeks, but especially this was a historic race. You're muted.
Fox was putting this graphic up of, you know, cars not involved in the wreck. Mm-hmm. And you look at that, like, wow, only seven. Well, guess what? Chase Briscoe and Josh Berry in there. They never updated the graphic. I mean, five guys weren't involved in a wreck. Todd Gillen had a tire go down. So four people who didn't, like, have issues, two of them, you know, made it to the line. But Daniel Suarez was the one that was.
Kyle Busch wound up getting a penalty too. So, you know, the whole, you can't drive back, you know, go back. These cars can't move and these guys can't drive them. Kyle Busch went to the back and then back to the front like twice this race. So he wasn't involved in a wreck, but he had to go back a couple times.
Let's talk about it from Daniel Suarez's point of view.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we did our preview and we talked about how, like, the heat is on Daniel Suarez, right? You know, they have Zane Smith driving full-time in Cup as, like, an alliance with Spire, right? Like, he was signed to Trackhouse, not Spire, and Spire is working with them. Shane Van Gisbergen, right? Wins Chicago, like a star in the supercars. He finished third, right? So you're thinking, like, if this finish doesn't happen for Suarez, right, you're talking about, you know, if you're interested in Trackhouse rumors, like, man, SVG finished third in his third time on an oval track. And we're talking about, and Suarez's job may still be in jeopardy. He does have to finish this season, you know, be competitive throughout this all season.
But he's in the playoffs. I mean, that's
to be locked in
thing.
The playoffs. Yeah. And he's not just a one-off at Atlanta. He finished second in the last race here. He had another top five. I think he's had two other top five or top tens here. This is going to be the first race of the playoffs, right? Where he has now is going to be expected to race up toward the front and keep it clean. Like this is huge for him because his job was and is in jeopardy. And for him to be able to pull this off to, you know, use that side draft and have a win at an oval too, not just at, you know, a road course of Sonoma, get a second career win is huge. And just for his career, there's a lot of one race winners in NASCAR history, but once you get to two, like, I know it sounds so little, but you do put yourself as part of history. It's like, one more than one fluke race or one road course specialist race. I've won two different NASCAR races. Like, it's just a huge moment for his career in general.
Yeah, for sure. I had him in the playoffs And I said it was just last Thursday where I was like, I think Daniel Suarez, and it was like basically when I was making my playoff bracket, it was like, is it going to be Daniel Suarez or Bubba Wallace? Those were like the two drivers that I basically pinned it down to. And I can obviously still see Bubba winning a race, but I was like, I think Daniel Suarez is much closer of putting a product together of start to finish of winning a race than Bubba Wallace is. And he did it. I mean, it certainly wasn't pretty. And you mentioned his track record at Atlanta. I think he's one of the five best drivers at this new Atlanta. I think William Byron's really good. He has multiple wins. I think Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, and Corey LaJoie is another really good one at this kind of new Atlanta. I'm probably forgetting one or two drivers, but Suarez is really good. And he's the 2-time NASCAR winner now, but he's literally etched in history by winning this historic race.
Yeah, and for just the next winner is just Atlanta, right? They were struggling to keep people in the seats. They configured the track. There's a lot of bitching because there is a lot of great races in the past at Atlanta, right? Dale Earnhardt over Bobby Labonte, and then Harvick basically repeating the same thing over Jeff Gordon. You know, Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon sliding all over the track, in the late aughts or whatever you call them. Carl Edwards over Jimmy Johnson. Like, this track has created a lot of finishes, but they weren't pulling. This is going to become like a must watch event, and it's huge for the sport. You know, the ratings obviously were bad because they raced the 500 on a Monday, but it was a good race for those who watched and were a new fan coming off the Netflix series. And I love the decision to put these two races back to back to start the season. Like, give you're not going to get this finish every time, but you're going to get tight, exciting racing, and that's what they got. I mean, like, I'm still like in awe of the finish, but I'm still just as much in awe as like them, you know, being able to survive four wide. And Chase Briscoe ended up wrecking himself, but he was racing like every corner. It's like Chase Briscoe's just diving in there and hoping for the best, and ended up getting him at the end. But just like a huge win for NASCAR, Atlanta, Daniel Suarez. I mean, basically everyone involved except for Ryan Blaney and Kyle Busch.
Yeah. Like we texted each other. It's like, well, this is the race that we need to go to next. Now here's the thing. I think it's not in July. Last year was in July. It's the first race of the playoffs this year, which I think is football season for us. And then
it might be the week before week one.
We got to check on that. Cause I actually like it better in September than July because, I think you even saw this last week at Daytona.
It's the first week of the NFL season.
Ah, shit. But anyway, I just think these tracks, when they're cool and they're not 130 degrees, 120 degrees, I don't necessarily know what's really, really hot, but I mean, the track at Green Flag, the track temperature was like 90 degrees, and then it went down to went down even further than that. And that's why I think you're able to see this type of racing where guys are going and they're sliding all around and drivers feel like they have the overall control of the car is because the sun goes down and the track is cool. You're going to get that this time of year. So,
but they even race that one at night because of the heat, right? So you're obviously it's going to be hotter, but you're still going to get, them be able to race some good grip. And you saw guys be able to pass in that race there last summer too. So, just thrilling, right? Like, I have all these pages of notes, but it really just goes down to like four wide, the crazy finish. I mean, just nuts from start to finish. Who do you think was the best all day? And maybe they could have ended up wrecking out, but Cindric to me looked really good from all day. And then Kyle Busch was, able to come back from a lap down, charge back to the front. I mean, there was a lot of guys who looked really good, but hey, Suarez was always like right up there though.
Yeah. I thought, how McDowell, how that team was able to recover that car.
Gillen actually probably the best.
He gets an eighth place finish, but I was going to say Gillen and over McDowell. McDowell just finished in eighth and he finished in front of him. But I thought Gillen's had two really impressive races back to back. And it's going to be interesting to see now that we're going to go to more of a, the conventional mile and a half, and it's not a super speedway drafting track. Now that they go to Las Vegas, how are those teams going to look? But I even think that they're carrying a little bit, Front Row Motorsports, they're carrying a little bit of momentum, even with some of the more normal conventional tracks. So I'm really interested to see how they do after they've had two really strong cars to start the season. But I thought Gilliland he was even blocking really well too. He would get shifted back there, but then he would come right back up to the front.
He was able to pass under the, I mean, a lot of guys were able to pass on the bottom in the restarts and pick guys off, but he was able to like pass guys on the inside. And like you said, like Michael McDowell's had really not some of it, not bad luck. He did lock up his brakes, but like he would have been a contender at Daytona,
yeah.
You know, obviously, but then he, you know, had the engine problem, you know, and then him winning that pole and Gillian qualified fourth too. Like, obviously you know, it could go south for the rest of the season, but with their new alliance with Ford making them a tier one team, like I don't think that team's so far away from being, you know, not going to say a contender for titles, but like, you know what, we've seen other teams come up pretty quick and maybe they're having their long drawn out and they'll be up at the RKF and, or, you know, not Penske, but maybe get up towards there, even though that's jumping the gun a little bit. Got to see it more at the non-drafting tracks.
Todd Gilliland had the best quote about the race. It's like going to a haunted house. You know, it's fun, but I'm scared for my life at the same time.
Yeah, I am still shocked. I know we said it. Like, I was like, I can't believe Austin Cindric goes four wide. And I'm like, you got to clear this before you get into the corner. And it's like, oh, he cleared it, and Kyle Busch followed the way, and they were able all to make it stick and make it stick.
They're good drivers. And I find it to be crazy, Bobby. I don't think because of – they took the power out of the car, right? That's what they did with this new car. They took the power out of the car. And I think that's why you're seeing the type of racing you're seeing in Atlanta. Number one with the repave, and then also number two with the new car, you're seeing the type of super speedway racing on a mile-and-a-half track, which isn't – you know, it's like your brain doesn't compute that if you're a lifelong NASCAR fan. So I really don't think that they have control of the cars because of how reliant they are on the air and the draft, and the phrase is draggy that I keep hearing. Sketch. That was the on Sirius XM NASCAR radio all week. That's the phrase that I heard, that the drivers kept describing the cars as sketch. And they don't practice anymore. Remember when we were growing up, we would go to the track. You could sit all day in the stands if you wanted on a Thursday or a Friday where they practice, hour and a half, hour sessions of practice for the Cup Series, the Busch Series, the Truck Series. You could sit all day in the stands, and then Friday they qualify. Saturday, you know, they whatever. Happy hour. Remember happy hour on Saturday for the Cup Series? You could sit in the stands. They don't practice anymore. So the fact that these drivers
– these tracks.
No, and the fact that these drivers have this much control of the cars and they're able to drive them this well and not wreck each other like you see some of the lower series do, it's awesome. It's unbelievable. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, they're running 180 miles per hour, you know, they're lifting a little bit, but like not having to lift around a mile and a half. And I'm not advocating for this, but you know, there's probably like mile and a half track, maybe even like Texas or someone who's like is going to see this, yeah, and going to want to advocate. Like, I want that. Like, how come they get that and we don't, right? And I don't want Texas the whole series turning into that at all. But like, you have to look at what Atlanta did, and it was bitched about and moaned of like, oh, they're ruining my track, you know, while people aren't getting in the stands. And I don't. You know, there's still good tracks with no people in the stands. We lost Fontana. That's, you know, always a great race, mm-hmm, that they've lost with nobody in the stands. But they're getting a great race. And to be able to mix this in with just not Daytona and Talladega is a huge win for NASCAR. And I think they should keep it like that. And it was one of those races where people were wrecking. And it was not like – it wasn't a bitch fest about how they're wrecking. Like, it was – good racing. No. Outside of the first wreck, they were able to keep most of the other cars pretty clean. And even within that first wreck, you had all those people involved. You know, those guys were all competing at the end and yeah, you know, involved for it too. So, I mean, any other guy, like, what a week from hell for Stuart Haas. You know, Briscoe wrecks out with a strong car. And then, Noah Gragson and Ryan Preece, you know, had the, let me pull it up. Their roof rail deflectors confiscated for, you know, not passing tech on those. Now it won't be as harsh a penalty as they got last year because it's not the the single source part where, you know, this is the part you have to use. You can't modify it. You can't use it. It's, you know, it's team created parts. But those guys are going to start in a hole, especially after Gregson was able to get a top 10. I know he wrecked in this one. And then, you know, a car that should have been in the top five at least. And Ryan, I want to hear the Ryan Briscoe, Chase Briscoe interview, because like, I want to know, like, what was your mindset? Because it was every corner. It's like, I'm just diving this thing in there. I'm not letting off. I'm finding any hole I can and I'm putting it in there. And you knew when he was the guy who went four wide that it was going to end up in a wreck. As soon as like they made the other guys survive, the other guys were able to survive four wide. As soon as you saw Briscoe go four wide, you knew that this was it. And it took out Hamlin with him.
It was Jover. You mentioned the Stuart Haas guys. The team that I want to talk about, or I guess the manufacturer that I want to talk about, I know a lot of them were involved in the wreck to wreck. Like you had Reddick involved and Christopher Bell were involved early on. Toyota hasn't necessarily shown a lot of speed back-to-back super speedways to start. And it's been Ford that's shown the speed and then Chevy that's shown the performance. And even though Ford has been, I would say, the most dominant manufacturer, well, they're coming away with first 2 weeks with zero wins because you have two Chevys winning. Any worry about Toyotas over the first 2 weeks at super speedways? You're muted.
No, I'd have to see it next week. I think they've had some bad luck. I mean, even Bubba was able to come fight back for a top five with, you know, his splitter was all mashed up too, and him being able to perform. Truex was at the front for the whole race.
And Denny fought back,
shuffled out. Denny Han was up there, and then like you mentioned, Reddick and Bell, their other competitor, you know, their other top competitors, were out. And then, I mean, outside of that, who else are you asking to compete from?
Right.
Toyota, none of the legacy guys, and I mean that's basically it. So I don't have any worry with them.
They're just not fast. I guess that's the main takeaway. I mean, I think Truex is a really good driver, and they eventually found it. Denny Hamlin's obviously, I picked him to win this race. It was a bad pick, to be honest, because Toyota has, I don't think Toyota's won a race at the new Atlanta yet. Could be lying with that, but I don't think on the top of my head. So I think the next super speedway race that we have is Talladega, which is April 21st. That's the next one.
Yes, I guess that is something we can look out for. A lot of guys came back. I mean, Kyle Busch came back from a lap down. Chastain was charging and then kind of stalled out towards the end of the race, but he was moving well. He obviously got in the Chase Elliott, which created the wreck that gave Bubba Wallace the free pass, but then everyone kind of took a, you know, got back on the lead lap because they weren't pitting, or at least a lot of them weren't pitting. Other notes that I might have had, let's see. Again, it was just good racing. Like, the inside lane was able to work pretty well, and they were able to race three wide without, you know, they were able to keep it. Like, most of the wrecks weren't like, oh my gosh, this is a product of this. The product of it was like, okay, you would collect one or two, because, I mean, Keselowski, he just spun out all by himself.
That was going to be the next driver that I brought up.
Logano pissed me off. That block that he threw on Buescher.
No need.
Yeah, it was like, I get you're racing for stage points and stuff, but it was just wild block, and then, you know, Buescher has to slow up, and when it slows up, it pulls his car into the wall, and then ruins, you know, Buescher was able to come back, but it ruined Logano's race. Like, that was for Logano to have the luck in the beginning of the race to not even lose a lap with that penalty that he got was pretty dumb. Can you want to talk about the penalty?
Oh, the gloves?
Because at first I'm like, what? Like, how is this not just a, hey, get new gloves thing? So I was waiting for, like, there's got to be more to this. And then it comes out, he was wearing webbed gloves. So if, you know, if you're new to NASCAR, most people that aren't watching this aren't new to NASCAR. When they qualify, because they're not having to control the vehicle like crazy, they will put their hands up against the window to have less air coming into the car. And
I saw him doing some. I was actually, I haven't watched a qualifying in a really long time.
They always do that at the super speedways. And he was just using a web glove. I love the ingenuity. And I'm actually kind of like, now hopefully he doesn't get any points penalty. That'd be crazy. But I feel like that is something that does deserve a slap on the wrist of like, hey, nice try. we've made a new rule. You can't do this anymore, Joey Logano. I feel like that shouldn't have been penalized unless that's what had happened in the past. But it's I love that ingenuity to like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you a webbed glove to run qualifying to you know, help. Like, no advantage will go, you know, no rock left, you know,
unturned. No stone unturned.
No stone unturned.
No like, rock.
Web finger gloves for Joey Logano. Like, I feel like that should be praised of that ingenuity, you know, and NASCAR's always been about pushing the limits. That should be a, hey, good job. We changed the rule. But they got him with the, like, it's not FPI certified or whatever. Cause obviously what their safety, they're not creating web gloves for the drivers, but two back-to-back weeks where, and Keselowski, where it's like Logano and Keselowski have two of the strongest cars, Fords, mm-hmm. right? You know, Keselowski hasn't 100 wins, races without a win now. Logano only got one win last year. And it's those were two of the strongest cars the last 2 weeks, and both mm-hmm. end up wrecking themselves out. Now, the Daytona one wasn't either one of their faults, but still, like, two tough breaks for some Ford teams. Speaking of another Ford team, I was waiting for it to go bad, and he did end up spinning, but he finished 11th. He wrecked on that first wreck on the second or third lap. Harrison Burton was not just – didn't just like, oh, he lasted to finish 11th. He was running top 5 to 10 all day long, and it was – whenever that's happening, which is very rare, I'm just waiting for the bad thing to happen. And the yeah. bad thing happened, but he was still able to bounce back and get an 11th place finish. You know, I know that's not some huge win. Darlington's the next track I'm watching for him to perform, because the Burtons just kind of own that, have historically ran well there. But was happy for my guy Harrison Burton, because I was just waiting for it to go wrong, and he almost saved it in that one wreck, that second wreck, and getting spin around. He probably would have been closer to the top 5 than 11th if he doesn't spin in that one.
Your guy Burton surviving. That's all you can ask.
Hey, he's been involved in 3 wrecks for the first 2 races of the season and got himself an 11th place finish. I can live with that. Now we're going to go to Las Vegas and we'll see if he's actually got. But what I like about Harrison this year is he's at least making moves. Like in the duels when he had the chance to win, he made a move. In the past, it seemed like anytime he had any like opportunity, he would freeze up. He would be mm-hmm. he would play it too passively or lose. Like I remember him leading Talladega last year and he just spins. You know, and obviously he gets a bump, but he's just like too stressed out. Hopefully, now that he's got, you know, over 70 cup races under his belt, he's starting to get a little more confident, because he's actually like making, like earlier in the race, he was going down and picking cars off one, you know, one by one by himself on the bottom. So
I think he's also in a mode of it's kind of now or never, because if he doesn't get somewhat results.
Yeah. What ride is he going to go into after Wood Brothers, Rick Ware? Yeah. Like, you know, I know his name and the sponsorship behind them is going to give them opportunities, but
I feel like the Wood Brothers is usually a stepping stone. Usually like a lot of drivers go.
Yeah. And he's shown nothing that like, okay, you've done well here.
No. And there's other drivers that are in the Xfinity series that I'm sure would love the opportunity to even if it's a weird jump for them, like you don't think like an Austin Hill would maybe like the opportunity to.
It's basically become a Penske. Well, I mean, they essentially are part of Penske Motorsports.
Right, they are.
He's in all their competition meetings and stuff.
Yeah, but they did the same thing for Blaney. You know, Blaney raced the 21. It's like, all right, well, you know, you showed like you got something. You showed you were worth investing in. It's like, all right, come up to the 21. And the two car, but it's Cindric. I know he runs well at the super speedways, but the two car's got something to prove this year too. So, you know, you're talking about two possible vacant seats for Penske. There could be a lot of changes happening.
Who are some guys in the Ford bloodline that could be up there? Everyone thought it was going to be Zane Smith, and then he moved to Chevy with Trackhouse and you know, racing for Spire this year, who he was running well and then got himself into the wall and ruined his day. Like, I mean, who's in Ford's in the Xfinity that could, like,
make? Well, I mean, you have the winner last year, the Xfinity Series champion last year.
Cole Custer. Yeah. I mean, he's – wonder how like ingrained in Stuart Haas he is, but maybe that is, you know, him coming back to the Cup through the Wood Brothers. That could be, and maybe you just
Cole Custer could be hired as a Stuart Haas.
You could just
Haas
get
driver.
Someone to jump from. I mean, you know, Burton was with Joe Gibbs, so
Ryan Preece out of the 41 and
put Cole someone Cousins. Has said Herps. I hope not Herps. I don't think he's very good. And anything else from the Cup race? I do want to get off some thoughts on the Xfinity and trucks really
no
quickly.
do it. I want to keep this. I like keeping this around 30 to 35 minutes. So,
well, just Jesse Love, dude, I'm so excited for him. I watched him in ARCA last year, won 10 of 20 races. I like that, and I just like the, you know, this is, I like the look of the number two RCR wheeling car. It's, you know, it's just cool. A good looking car. And I was like, Jesse Love's going to be my guy this year. I'm going to plant my, you know, flag in the sand to quote fucking Giants.
Sure.
I was like, I'm going to be a Jesse Love number two guy. I even like ordered his ARCA car last year. And he dominated, right? And just ran out of gas. And Austin Hill wins back to back. But Jesse Love has led more laps than Sheldon Creed did all of last year. And it wasn't like Sheldon Creed was a rookie last year in the same car. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the only guy to pass on the inside. That's credit to the, you know, the team. As much as it is Jesse Love, but I'm so excited to see how his rookie year goes, because, you know, that two was right in it for a championship last year without winning a race. There's no reason Jesse Love couldn't put himself in there. We talked about SVG being third. You want to see it at a non-drafting track to really get excited about it. But Jeffrey Earnhardt top 10 was nice. Did you see the Kyle Weatherman versus JJ Yaley's crew chief fight?
No.
Oh, no, you got to check the racing radio chat, because I sent the video. Kyle Weatherman got in the JJ Yaley and he spins, and Yaley's on the radio saying, "Oh, he's going to need bail money because I'm going to knock him out." He said he better have pants on after the race because I'm going to find him, which is just a weird, like, yeah, I'm assuming he's going to have his pants on.
Are you going to pants him?
Yeah, like I don't know what that is. And then his crew chiefs and crew members going to start fights is the most annoying shit in the world. And he just didn't do anything. He like went and grabbed his collar and shoved him, and Kyle Weatherman's just sitting there like, what are you doing? I also think now that we all have radio access, to back up JJ Yaley, I hate judging guys off of their radio quotes. Like, they're pissed off. They say stuff they may not mean in the moment, you know, even if it's their fault. You know, have you ever done something stupid and you blame something else very quickly in the moment, even though you knew it wasn't that thing or person's fault?
You're also in your own world in that car.
So. Yeah, so I don't like judging guys off of their radio stuff. Trucks, Kyle Busch won, you know, continues his lead. The only thing that pissed me off was Thad Moffitt, dude, son of a bitch. Dude goes and wrecks up, like goes and does a horrible block on Jake Garcia. And then I don't know if it was because he ran out of talent or the truck or whatever, just runs down the track like it was Jake Garcia's fault, like he was trying to wreck him and ruined a good day for Jake Garcia. He was able to keep racing, so just wanted to get that out there. Also, quick diecast corner. I ordered this a long time ago, just happened to come in today.
Nice.
But it's the specifically the race win Kevin Harvick. You see all the, you know, the tire debris. Race win at Atlanta. So
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of those types of cars, like race, getting the race specific cars.
Yeah, it's nice of it to come out then. So, all right, that's an episode of Racing Radio. Anything else, Justin, before we go?
That's it.
Thrilling race. Great start for this podcast to have the Daytona 500, which just has its natural buzz, and then, you know, a top five finish of all time, possibly. So, good stuff. We will be back on Thursday, I think. Maybe we'll talk with Stephen Toronto of CBS Sports, who covers NASCAR. We'll see how the second episodes of these, you know, if we keep it at two, we'll see how it goes. But this was very fun, and I'm excited that we get to, like, I'm going to be thinking about this race all day tomorrow. I'm excited for it. So appreciate you guys supporting. Hey, this channel's small, so you're an A1 from day one. See you then. Until then, let's go racing.